Yeah, really, Brother Patterson, you come and preach to this crowd. Hallelujah. On a Monday night. Lord bless you tonight.
Well, praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of God tonight.
Amen.
Oh man, that's a better response than I got on my home church. They run 120 people, you know. And it's good. Matthew chapter 16 this evening with me. I got to thinking, Grandma, when Brother Trace up here said, it gets better and better. I was preaching in a church one time and I made the statement. I said, it just gets gooder and gooder. And a little Mexican lady came up to me afterwards and she told me, she says, I knew it, Brother Mike, I knew it. I said, what? She says, I told my husband those are words. She said, because I'm always telling him, it just gets gooder and gooder, you know. She said, I'm going to tell him the preacher said it's gooder and gooder, so it must be right, amen. I said, well, don't date your English language for me, sister. I said, I probably know about as much English as you know about Mexican, you know, not much. And so we were just laughing about it, amen. Well, praise the Lord, the book of Matthew chapter 16. It is good to be in the house of God tonight. And had a chance to see the pastor for a few moments before I come in here to talk to Brother Tony and Darlene for a few minutes over here. And she says she's doing pretty good compared to last year, you know. And I asked how she's feeling. She said, I'm feeling pretty good. And so I had a few moments to talk with him. And then got a view of Tony's motorcycle shop again. He always wants to show me his motorcycle. I love that boy. I tell you, I told him don't leave the keys in one of them. You might not have it when you come back, amen. You go to work, you might be gone the next day. They always say, well, the doors are locked. Well, listen, I can get in a locked door, amen. I'm just saying. Lock them all you want, hallelujah. I was in Florida one time, preacher, and a lady down in Jacksonville asked me. She had a brand new Cadillac. I mean, just brand, I don't think she had it for a week, maybe, you know. Brand spanking new out in the parking lot of the church. And I was thinking, she walks into me in the church. She says, Brother Mike. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you think you could help me? I said, well, if I can, what do you need? She says, well, she says, I locked my keys in my car, you know. You think you can get them out for me? And, of course, she got them push-button numbers. I said, you didn't get this program? She says, no, I can't remember what the numbers are. And I lock them in the glove compartment, you know. So don't put them in your purse where they can help you, you know. And so she said, I couldn't remember what the numbers were. And she said, I said, sister, listen to me. I said, I can get into your car. I said, you got a brick? I said, I never picked a door for a car in my life. We broke the windows, you know. Well, I tell you what, needless to say, she said, I'll call AAA. Amen. I said, they might not do much better on that new car. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. It's good to be in the house of God. Good to have fun. Amen. My wife and I were talking today. I said, this church is it's a humorous church. Amen. I can look out here laughing, every one of you. No, it's a humorous church. You know, you have a good sense of humor. We can have fun and we can laugh and we can enjoy our fellowship in the Lord. And, you know, I believe God has a sense of humor. He created us. Look at it, you know. But the God is so good to us, is he not? Matthew 16, would you stand with me as we read tonight, beginning in verse 13 of the book of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible makes this statement. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say unto him, some say that thou art John and the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, and or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Important question, amen. What do you think of Jesus? Who do you say he is? Amen. Say he who I am. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, and it amazed me that nobody else spoke up at that time. But Peter did, you know. Of course, Peter always spoke up first, I think, you know. If you read the Bible, he's always a quick one to speak, you know. I think he spoke sometimes before he thought, but here, he already knew the answer without having to think about it, amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, by the way, he's talking about himself, the rock, Jesus Christ, not Peter. Peter, that word for Peter was a stone. It was not a rock. It was not a something you could latch onto and hang onto. But Peter is talking about the Catholic Church has this text all wrong. You talk to somebody from the Catholic Church, and they will tell you that this is the first pope in the church. And let me show you where they get that. He says, "And I said to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." And that's the Catholic Church, boy. They try to bind everything and say, this is what we're doing. We're changing this. We're making this happen. This will happen. And so they take the authority away from the Word of God. Amen. And that's not what God was saying at all. That's not what God was saying at all when you study the Scriptures. He said, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. Now, Father, thank you for your Word. I pray tonight you'd use it to speak to our hearts. Help us and draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I got this thought out of this text. The church is important, is it not? And this thought's not going to have probably anything to do with this text. If you think about this for a little bit, it will lean this way a little bit. But the thought I have is patriotism. Patriotism. You know, we just celebrated the 4th of July, amen. I get in a camp meeting up in Michigan every year. Brother, the 4th of July, I've heard Brother Tom Williams up at that camp meeting. I've preached up there with him. I preached up there with Brother Areza over the years and preached up a number of other guys up in that camp meeting over the years. But every year it's the week of the 4th of July. And it seems like the 4th of July, when it comes, is right in the middle of that week somewhere. But it doesn't hinder. Pastor says, if it's on Wednesday, I won't start the meeting on Wednesday. He said, we'll go to the next week because nobody's going to show up. He said, but if I can get them there Wednesday, I can get them back Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. No matter what day the 4th is, they will come back. And we have great meetings every year. Patriotism. Now, I want to read a couple things to you, and then I want to give you the premise for this thought about the church, is what I want to take off on for a little bit. The more people have died in traffic accidents since America began using automobiles in all of the wars the U.S. has ever fought. More people in traffic accidents. Between 1900 and 1930, more people were killed or injured celebrating Independence Day than in the War of Independence itself. More people in that 30-year period died from probably drunkenness and who knows. You know, you do foolish things when you're drunk, amen. If you ever drank, you do stupid things, don't you? You know, hey, watch me hang on to this firework. Oh, there it goes, man. You know, I have a friend last year that was up Michigan, and he had some black powder. He got a black powder gun, and right after the 4th of July, he's out in his backyard with his kids, and he's taking that black powder and he's dumping a little bit down and he's throwing a match on it. He's dumping a little bit more and the kids were just amazed. You know, they were just amazed that their dad could do anything like this, you know. And he's standing there and he pours some powder down. He didn't realize he didn't take the bag up. And he threw the match down. That thing came up and blew up in his hand. That bag that messed his hand all up. Out of work for a year before he got a job. Get back to work again. Amen. Because of that stupidness, you know. And he wasn't drunk, you know. He was just foolish, and he would tell you I was stupid in what I did. America's Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, perhaps the third most ceremonial of patriotic acts, behind saluting the flag and singing the anthem. Oh, thank you for saluting your flags here in the Bible, Sunday morning preacher. Some churches don't do that anymore, but I sure appreciate it when you do it, amen, when they do that. He says, which had its beginning, the Pledge of Allegiance had its beginnings back in 1892 when President Benjamin Harrison, listen to this, a Hoosier, that's somebody from Indiana, amen, they ain't right, just, you know, he called for patriotic exercises in the schools to mark the 400th anniversary of the discovery of America. Remember in 1492 who Columbus sailed the oceans? Blue, every childhood kid ever went to school to learn that poem when you were kids, amen. That's all the poem I know. I don't know any more of it. That's it, amen. Yeah. And so, but he said he said this: a pledge written by Francis Bellamy of Boston for the Ius Campanian was adopted for the purpose, and school children across the nation began to pledge their allegiance to the flag. It became a national tradition. How many of you remember, well, the older ones in here, remember going to school, remember saying the pledge? Our teacher, I remember coming into the schoolroom when I was in the 50s. You probably remember the 1900, 1902, 1900. No, but you remember when you come in, and what they do? A lot of them did two things. Number one, they would say the Lord's Prayer. You know, I remember them saying the Lord's Prayer. And the second thing was the teacher put your hand over your heart, and everybody said the pledge. I don't care what nationality, I don't care what country you came for, you were made to say the Pledge of Allegiance to America, because you were part of this country. And so you took the pledge. He goes on to make this statement. He says it became a national tradition. After World War I, the National Flag Conferences of the American Legion expanded on the original wording. In 1942, Congress made the pledge part of its code for use of the flag, and as late as in 1954, expanded the wording to include under God. It did not have under God until that time. 1954, preacher, we were 2 years old. Amen. In 1954, yeah, I don't either, you know. I remember daylight one time, that was it. That must have been 52 when I was born. Anyway, it was under God. Of course, Independence Day is our major day of patriotism. It was celebrated first in Philadelphia on July 8th, 1776. In succeeding years, it was celebrated on July 4th, the date of the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Patriot. What does it mean to be a patriot for you as a believer in Jesus Christ? What does it mean? Well, I've got a few thoughts down here. And he comes back again to Peter in this text, and he makes that statement. He says, I say unto thee, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I wrote number one, support. What does it mean to be a patriot? Support. I hope you support the laws of our land. Amen. I don't agree with every law. Amen. I mean, I think I was telling Tracy last night here, you know, here in the state of New York, I think 20 years ago, I was riding bicycles here with somebody, and he said, you have to have a helmet on. Well, can I tell you what size helmet fits my head, Pastor? I wear a kid's helmet. I don't have a big head. I wear a kid's hat. My head is pointy up here, you know. It's like a slate roof. It comes like this up, you know. And you know, they call me Poindexter, you know. I'm just simply saying, I look like a dork with one on. And I had to wear a stinking helmet to ride a bicycle. I don't like wearing a helmet to ride a motorcycle, let alone a bicycle. But I had to in Michigan. The law was you had to wear a helmet. And then when he passed the no helmet law in Michigan, man, I loved it. Hallelujah. You know, if I hit the pavement, it ain't none of your business if I want to scramble my brains. Amen. It's my business. But it's the law. And so if it's the law, you need to what? Obey the law. But how about the church? Supporting the church. How about in attendance? Hebrews 10:25, forsaking not the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. We are commanded to gather together as born-again believers, those who are saved by the grace of God, to support the church. Look at 1 Corinthians with me, and chapter 11 in your Bibles, please, the book of 1 Corinthians, and chapter 11. He makes a statement. I think I got the right chapter. I'm pretty sure I got the right chapter. We'll make sure here. If I'm reading it ain't right, we'll know in a minute. Amen. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 16, he makes this statement. He says, "For first of all, when ye come together in the church." Now, in the church, that's a place. Amen. When you come together in the church. as the place where we gather. I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. So he goes on to make the statement to them, when this has happened, he says, this is wrong. But he said, when you come together in the church, look with me, another place in Scripture, when you come together as the church, and that's the congregation gathering together, and we gather together in one place, amen. We don't gather together, and by the way, if you're gathering together is in the front of a hotel somewhere, nothing wrong with that. You're gathering together somewhere in a storefront, in a out in a public, and there's nothing wrong with that. Amen, but it's a place where you gather, a place where you meet, a place where you come. And we ought to be in support of that as a born-again believer, support of the local church, the support of being at the house of God. And I understand sickness, amen? I understand. And there's sometimes some things are going to keep you out of the house of God. My problem is when you can be and you're not here. That's my problem. When you can be and you're not here. When you have the choice to make and you choose not to come. That's the problem. Yeah. We need to support the local church. Amen. Amen. And if we can't be here because of illness or anything else, we can sure be here in spirit and in prayer. Amen. And pray for those who are involved in the services that day. And we ought to be in support of the church in attendance. We ought to be in support in the church. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, please, in your Bible for a moment. The book of Ephesians in chapter 6. We ought to be in support of the church in prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication. And listen, for all saints. For all saints. We have to be together in prayer, supporting the church in prayer. I'm going to ask you, don't put up your hand and don't shout the answer out loud. Amen. I don't want you to do that. But I want you to just think about this for a minute. Do you pray for everybody in your church? Do you pray for everybody? You know what happens a lot of times? People pray for themselves. Do you pray for your pastor every day? You ought to. Boy, especially Saturday night, amen. You ought to pray that God just gives him the rest he needs and be able to get him in the pulpit on Sunday morning to preach the Word of God, amen. That's supporting the church. That's, you're a patriot. You're a patriot. You ought to be a patriot to the things of God, as a child of God. As much as we are a patriot, Pastor, I used to say, I'm a redneck independent fundamental Baptist, amen. I don't say that anymore. I'm an independent fundamental red, white, and blue neck Baptist, amen. I'm a patriot. I love my country. But can I tell you what? I love my church more than the country. I love the things of God more than I do in the United States of America. And I'm a patriot to my country. And I'm a patriot more to my church. Amen. We ought to be patriotic to the things of God. Look at Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians in chapter 1, just a couple pages more over in your Bible there. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints of faithful brethren and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus, which are in Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. He said, be giving thanks, praying always for you. We ought to pray for the brethren, amen. We ought to pray for those in our church. We ought to pray for our pastor. By the way, we ought to be praying for other good, independent, fundamental Baptist churches that are in your area, amen. Guys who stand where you stand. But now let me tell you one more. we ought to be praying for those who preach the gospel. If they stand where I stand or not, Pastor, amen. We ought to pray for them because they might be able to reach somebody that I cannot reach, amen. And I'm hoping, but boy, first and foremost, I am an independent Baptist, and I'm not ashamed to say that, amen. And that's where my prayers will go before they go anywhere else other than my family and my home church. And what God would have us to do. And then we need to support the church in attendance and in prayer. And then in giving. Amen. In giving. Go to Matthew chapter 22 with me. Matthew in chapter 22. We have to support the local church in giving. And probably tonight, I feel like maybe, preacher, I'm preaching to the choir. Amen. But listen, if I'm preaching to the choir, and you're part of the choir, even if you can't sing, Brother Tracy, you did good, by the way, I'm going to tell you. You started better than I could, amen, because I do not start well when I'm leading songs. I have to ask my wife to get me going, amen. I'm glad she starts me on key, by the way. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 22, beginning down in verse 15. He said, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, and neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. Otherwise, he knew their heart, amen. We can't always perceive, preacher. We can't always perceive somebody's heart. But Jesus knows the heart all the way. And said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Boy, woo! Man, what strong language, amen. That was our Lord. Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, Lachish, and unto God the things which are God's. Amen. Now can I tell you what the tithe is? God's. Amen.
Amen.
That's God's. It belongs to the Lord. He said in Matthew 23:23, he said, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, ye tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, yet ye have forgotten the weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and the faith, these ought ye to have done. By the way, he's quoting out of the book of Micah there. These ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. Justice, mercy, and faith deal with the heart. What was the other? Don't leave the other. That's the wallet, amen. When your heart's where it ought to be, when your heart's in the place where it ought to be, your money will be where it should be, amen. It'll be at the house of God where it needs to be. We need to tithe and give to the local church. John Hancock was the president of the Continental Congress, which passed the Declaration of Independence. He signed his name with such large letters, as he said, that King George could read it without his own spectacles. Amen. He said, that's why, so, you know, they said, put your John Hancock here, because he signed that with large script when he wrote that out. Hancock was one of the few millionaires of his day. There weren't a lot back in that day. One of the few in that day, John Hancock was. He had inherited a large estate from his uncle. When Washington was planning his attack on Boston, Hancock said to him, nearly all the property I have in the world is in houses and real estate in Boston. But if the expulsion of the enemy troops require that these houses be burned to ashes, issue the order immediately. That's sacrifice, amen. For the good of what? For the good of patriotism. We ought to learn how to sacrifice for the good of the church. Amen? We ought to learn how to sacrifice for the good of the church. We should. And then the church, how about supporting the church, being a patriot of the church, and membership. Probably most in here tonight are members. I don't know if everybody is. I know we've got a couple visitors that I don't remember seeing before. I probably have, but I don't remember. Here's the thought. If you've never become a member of the local church, you ought to. Look at Acts chapter 2 with me. The book of Acts in chapter 2. We need to be part of the membership of a local body of believers. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 38 of Acts in chapter 2. He makes this statement. He says, Where did I tell you? Verse 38, that's where I'm going. All right. He says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. By the way, repenting here, baptism does not make them repent. Repentance comes first. That's their salvation. Then baptism comes next. He's not saying that you're saved because you get baptized. The emphasis on repent in that text. You take that with other scriptures and it shows through the Word of God that salvation is by grace and grace alone through faith for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 39. And for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And I believe as we study this out along with other scriptures, that gives us the indication that when he got saved and baptized, it was added not just for the salvation, but unto them, this church that was a new upstart in Jerusalem. I think that we cannot get away from it. You cannot support something, by the way, if you 100% if you don't belong to it. Amen. That's why we have so many people in our country, Pastor, that aren't supporting America today. They don't belong to it. They're not part of us. Amen. But I'm afraid that there's some that do belong to America, and they're still not part of us. Amen. I won't tell you what my plan is. I get arrested for it. Amen. But you can't support it if you're not 100% belong to it. You cannot belong to the local church if you do not belong to the body of Christ. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Mike? I'm talking about a time when you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sin and to save you by his grace. I'm talking about right now, if you know for sure that if you died right here, right now, if you died right here, right now, if it happened right now, where would you spend eternity? Heaven?
Amen.
Or hell? Because there's no in-between. There's no halfway place. When a person dies, they're going to one or the other. There's no waiting period. There's no time between death and hell or death and heaven. Death and heaven is immediate when a person dies, and death and hell, if he dies without Christ, is in hell. Immediate, just like that. You cannot belong to the church if you don't belong to the body of Christ. You cannot belong to the body of Christ if you've not been trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. A time in your life where you recognize that there is sin in your life, when you recognize that you are a sinner and needs to be saved by the very grace of God. Amen. Everyone in this room, if you've been saved, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. A time when you bowed your head. You might not have come to the altar in a church. Maybe it was at home. Maybe it was on the street corner. Maybe it was in a pew. Maybe it was in your car. Somewhere. But you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Number two. That was point number one. Point number two. Here's the thought for you. A patriotic, not just supporting the church, but how being a patriot in defending the church. In defending the church. I think we need to defend the church. Amen. Somebody said, wait, we don't need to defend it because Jesus Christ is a church. He'll defend the church. I'm talking about this. Defend it. When someone says something about your church in a negative manner, how do you handle that? Do you get riled up, or do you handle it? You don't say anything. Or I learned a long time ago that somebody's got something negative to say. I want to ask them the reason for the negativity. Why do you feel that way? I ask them, why do you feel that way? I've heard a lot of stuff over the years. Amen. I heard, well, that preacher. Well, what's the pastor's name? Well, I don't know. For that, how many times have I heard it? Well, I don't know. Well, then what do you have bad to say about him if you don't know? Why? I heard. Well, who'd you hear it from? Amen. I mean, I just ask them. Eventually, they'll get mad at me and quit talking to me. Amen. But I'm going to ask them. I want to know, what's the reason? Hey, listen. Somebody told me when I pastored Calvary Baptist in Shepherd back over 30 years ago, Pastor, somebody in the town said, I won't ever go to that church, that last pastor there. I said, well, what'd he do? I don't know if he did something. I said, well, I'm not the last pastor. I'm sure I'll do something too. Amen. I hope it's the right thing. I mean, you know, negativity. I think we need to support the local church. Amen. I could go door to door to door. Amen. There's going to be people in this town, Pastor, that hate you. They don't like you. I know I can go to Geneva and find somebody on the street that cussed you out, swore up one side, and got in your face. Amen. And then you told me you went like this. You took one step towards you. You took two towards him. And you just said, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you, I don't know if I'm that brave. My thought is this. If he steps forward to me, I want to step up to him. I want to say, you better get out of my face before I call Pastor Rice. He's going to hurt you. Amen. I'm not as gracious as some people are. I want to be. Amen. I want the right testimony for the Lord. Maybe that's why the Lord doesn't put me in a situation like that. Amen. But don't be afraid to give them an answer. And then let me give you another one for the church. Be a patriot in defending the church, but be a patriot in defending the pastor. Amen. Be a patriot in defending the pastor. Well, I've seen things in churches, man. I was just in a church recently, a preacher, a friend of mine took years ago. His dad's got the church now. And he had a guy in a church two times that did this to him. One time, Brother Clarence Heflin was there in meetings with him. And this guy got in the pastor's office and started screaming and yelling at the pastor. And the pastor asked Clarence to come in. At the time, Clarence was in there. This guy's yelling at the preacher, And Clarence is standing over by a chair. And this guy just started toward the pastor's desk. And Clarence just stepped up and walked around and stood between him and the desk and between him and the preacher, and said, I think you just need to calm down. Now, I wouldn't want to mess with Clarence, amen. I tell you, I love him. He's a dear friend of mine. I'd have to hit him with something awful hard because he'd whoop me in a heartbeat, amen. Yeah, he's a tough guy, He's a character and a half. But, then another time, the guy out in the hallway of the church, Clarence defended the pastor, amen. But the guy's out in the hallway to church when Clarence wasn't there one time, another time. And this guy comes up to the pastor in the church, doubles up a fist, and he's ready to hit the preacher. Here's my thought. Where were all the people? Where were all the men? This is my pastor. We had that situation in our church last year. A guy did double the system. Man, he stood in the back of the church screaming and yelling the pastor, brother. Another time in his office screaming and yelling. Another time out in the church yard screaming and yelling at him. I'm glad when the guy left. Amen. The guy left finally. Amen. And my pastor's a very gracious individual. Will not do anything to hurt anybody. Will not do anything to hurt anybody. And this guy was just meaner than a snake. And I told preacher, he said, Mike, he said, I almost called you to come back here for a week with me during this time. And he said, I would have flown you up. I think I was in Florida at the time. He said, I would have flown you up. And I said, brother, that would have been fine. But I'm sort of glad you didn't. And he said, why? I said, because if I get between you and him and he gets in my face, I'm afraid I'm going to go to jail. Because I'm not going to put up with it. He's not going to attack you like that in front of me. I'm going to get between the two of you and say, shut your mouth. This needs to stop right now. Amen. And sometimes, we need to defend our preachers. Amen. In the house of God, around the things of God. Deuteronomy 17:6 says, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. We ought not to listen to just one person, amen. If you're going to kill the preacher, listen to two. Then kill him. No, just kidding, amen. We ought not to listen to gossip. It ought not to take place. Because Deuteronomy 19:15 says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses, so the matter be established. And that's not when somebody from the church says something because he's mad at the preacher, and he goes to somebody else and says, well, the preacher did this, or the preacher said this, or the preacher was like this, and then those two go, no, the other guy's not a witness. It's hearsay. He did not see anything. And 99 and 9/10 of the time in the house of God is because somebody opened up their big mouth and went to somebody else who also had big ears and a big mouth, and then they come back and they attack the preacher. Shame on them. Don't let it happen. Amen. Protect your pastor, protect your church. Psalms 82:3 says, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. And sometimes the preachers are just afflicted, amen. And they're needy for prayer, they're needy for things. But you also protect the poor in your church, protect those who are needy, protect those who have no fathers in the church. Protect those who have no husbands in the church. Amen. Protect the old people in the church. No, we have to protect the fatherless and those who are widows and those who are needy and those who don't have a lot and those who struggle with things. We have to do what we can to do what's right as the children of God. And then we need to be patriotic in our loyalty. In our loyalty. We ought to be loyal to the local church. Then departed Barnabas in Acts chapter 11, verse 25 to 26. Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why were they called Christians first in Antioch? Because they were loyal to the things of God. They were loyal to the truth of the gospel. They were loyal to the word of God. They were loyal to giving the gospel out to other individuals. They were loyal, and they called them Christians first in Antioch. And by the way, that term was not a good term. That was a derogatory term that they used to them. And boy, I tell you what, we can wear that term today as a pride of honor, amen, from Jesus Christ. I am not afraid to tell someone I am a Christian, that I am born again, saved by His grace. That thought loyal means giving or showing a complete and constant support for someone or something. Something in this manner would be the church, amen. The full definition is an unwavering allegiance, as in faithful allegiance to one's lawful sovereign or even government. Faithful to a private person to whom fidelity is due. Faithful to a cause, ideal, custom, institution, or product. Our church is not a product. I even beg to differ, Pastor. Our church is not an institution. Our church is a church, amen. It's not a custom. It's not an ideal. It's not a cause. But we have to be faithful to the local church, amen. We have to be loyal to that as believers in Jesus Christ. Loyal to those things of God. Loyal to the house of God. Loyal to God Himself. We need people who will be loyal to their families. Amen. We need people who will be loyal to their wives and their husbands. We need people who will be loyal to their commitments. You make a commitment, keep your commitment. Amen. Don't vow a vow unless you're going to keep the vow. If you say, I'm going to be there, you know what you're making? You're making a vow. Be there. Amen. Do what God boy, and if you can't be, you call and make that thing right ahead of time, not 5 minutes later. I remember when I started pastoring, I got there first time pastor, the first of when I was just preaching at the church. I told him, I said, I'll be there about 10:30 or 9:30, something like that. And he said, okay, somebody be there to unlock the door. 10 minutes after 10, somebody comes in. And so then I did Sunday school. Next week, they asked me to come back and preach again, looking at me, the candidate. And I went back the next week and said, I'll be there at 20 minutes to 10. I thought I'd give them a little bit of a break, amen. And nobody got there until quarter after 10 that day, amen. And they voted me as the pastor. So when 10 o'clock, when I became pastor, 10 o'clock came, guess what I did? I started Sunday school, amen. that started Sunday school. And people started coming in, like, looking around, well, what's happening? Well, you know, the clock back there says the one you put on the wall that at 12 o'clock it goes ding, 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 12 times. The one I can't stand, the one I stuck a piece of paper in to shut it up, the one I took the battery out of one time to shut it up. I should have taken a hammer and just threw it on the floor, smashed it, put it back up there and say, I don't know what happened to it. Look at that stupid thing. Lightning must have struck it, amen. But, you know, it came to the point after 4 years or 3.5 years, it came to the point where people were getting to church before me. You know, we got there anywhere for 9:20, 9:30. And then we would start at 10 o'clock. And it came to the point when I first got there that people would leave the church as soon as the preaching was over. I couldn't make it to the back of the church fast enough to say goodbye. I said amen in the prayer, and everybody's good. So I started having people praying for me. But they prayed so fast, before I got halfway down that little church like this, I got to the third pew and they were done praying, amen. And everybody was still running past me to get out the door of the church. But after 3.5 years, it came to the point where there were people there when I left, amen. I said, all right, I got to go. I'll see y'all later. It's time for my nappy time, you know. My bottle nappy, amen. And when I say bottle, I mean my milk bottle, amen. So we need to be faithful, amen. We just need to be faithful. We need to do our part in the local church as believers in Jesus Christ. You say, well, I do my part, Brother Mike. You know what I say? Praise the Lord. And I commend you for that. I commend you for that. Amen. So here's a thought then with this. Then take this as encouragement and not being beat up tonight. Amen. But if you need a beat up, take that too. Hallelujah. I'm just saying, take what God has given to you and use it to the honor and the glory of God. And live that testimony in front of those. When people come in those doors to visit this church, that they will see something different here than they have ever seen in any other church, different here than they have seen in any other ministry, different here than they have seen with any other Christian, amen. Make the difference here, amen. Patriotism. I think we need to be patriotic to the Lord, amen. That's a whole other point, but I'm not going to go there tonight. I'll let Tracy finish that up another night, amen. Well, let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Two questions, simple questions. The first question is this. I want to ask you, now I want you to think very, very seriously about this. Because if you don't know the answer, you need to know it. Here's the question. If you die tonight, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? If you say, Mike, I know if I die tonight, I'll spend eternity in heaven. I know I'm saved. Would you slip up your hand? I know I'm saved. Just slip it right up in the air. Amen. Praise the Lord. It looks like to me every hand went up. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. I'm excited for that. Make sure you know. You can put them down. Make sure you know. Just make sure if something happens where you're not sure, please, just make sure. Make sure. Make sure. Second question is this. Mike, would you just pray for me? Because there's something. I might just touch on one little thought in that message. One little thought. But the Lord said something to you. Maybe you stood up your hand tonight and said, Mike, could you pray for me? Because the Lord spoke to my heart this evening. How about it right now? Oh, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Others, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Others, how about? Let me pray for you. Anybody else tonight like that? The Lord spoke to my heart tonight. There's something the Lord showed me that I needed. Anybody else like that tonight? God bless you. Amen. Anybody else this evening? Anybody else? Father, I thank you for these who slipped up their hand. Lord, you know their heart. You know their very need, dear God. You know, God, you know what makes us tick, Father. You know what it takes to move us. You know what it takes to help us to do what we ought to do as your children in the local church, in the ministry, serving you, following you, being obedient to you, that you would have all the honor and all the glory. And we will give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Can we stand to our feet if you're able to for just a moment? If you're not, you just remain seated. If you're able to, let's stand to our feet. And the Lord spoke to your heart. The Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you just slip out for a moment? You just come up to the altar. Give that to the Lord tonight. And if you can't get up and move, you just bow your head right where you're at. Amen. And take it to the Lord and ask Him to help you. How about the Lord spoke to your heart? You slip out and you come. How about tonight? You slip out and you come. No one looking has bowed eyes closed. Has bowed eyes closed, please. That's, no one looking. Private time about tonight. Has bowed eyes closed. Lord spoke to your heart and you slipped up your hand. Why don't you slip out? Why don't you come? There's still room. There's still room at the cross for you. Still time to get a few things settled between you and God. And you know, this is just one of the messages where I don't know where... I wasn't even sure what direction to take it other than the direction I took it, and just ask God to do what He needs to do. So if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Let Him do in your heart what He wants to do about tonight. Father, thank you for those who have come. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the privilege you've given to us to minister one to another here in this church in Dresden, New York. Thank you for Pastor and Bev, and thank you for the congregation, Father. Thank you for those here who are willing to serve and do what it takes, Father, for this ministry to go forward, that you would have the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
623 in our hymn books, Patriotism, Loyalty. Appreciate the message. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an ensign fair we lift it up today, while as ransomed once we sing. Marching on, for Christ count everything but loss. And to crown Him King, toil and sing 'neath the banner of the cross. Though the foe may rage and gather as the flood, let the standard be displayed. And beneath its folds, as soldiers of the Lord, for the truth be not dismayed. Marching on, for Christ count everything but loss. And to crown Him King, toil and sing 'neath the banner of the cross. Over land and sea, wherever men may dwell, make the glorious tidings known. Of the crimson banner now the story tell, while the Lord shall claim His own. Marching on, for Christ count everything but loss. And to crown Him King, toil and sing 'neath the banner of the cross. Last verse. When the glory dawns, 'tis drawing very near. It is haunting day by day. Then before our King the foe shall disappear, and the cross the world shall sway. Marching on, for Christ count everything but loss. And to crown Him King, toil and sing 'neath the banner of the cross. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you for being in church on a Monday night. Hallelujah. Father, praise you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for what we've seen and heard here tonight. Thank you for your hand upon each scripture verse. Father, on the thoughts again, and we just praise you and thank you. For revival services, bring us back at the appointed time. We'll give you all the praise in the name of Christ. Amen.